Greetings tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Welcome each of you here and glad to see your faces. May we share tonight in the Word of God and be built up, encouraged, and may we rejoice in the Lord tonight. Psalm 126, Brother Duane read. Thank you, Brother Duane, for that opening. And that's where we're going to be tonight, mostly in Psalm 126. And Brother Duane indeed reminded us, Brother Ray and I, that we might have been 17 or 18 then, 50 now, and rolling on. No stopping, no slowing down. So by God's grace, may we do that which counts before time runs out and we expire here below. The setting here at Psalm 126 is not the return from Babylonian captivity, I don't believe, from the Babylonian exile. I believe it's actually Zion, it's actually the capital, it's Jerusalem that is under siege, that is burdened down right now and in captivity, rather than the people being taken away, I believe. But they've had that captivity turned to captivity of Zion. And I don't believe the citizens were necessarily removed this time. This could refer to multiple times in Israel's history, in Zion's history, of another nation, another power coming down upon them and causing hardship, causing difficulty in the life of Zion, of the Jewish people. The holy city itself here has been in distress, along, of course, with its people. How often the cry has risen from Jerusalem, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord. Come into our rescue. Come in here, Lord, and take over. We need thee." And so I would borrow Spurgeon's title for this chapter, "Leading Captivity Captive." Leading captivity captive tonight as we look at Psalm 126. I do want to thank you for all your prayers, and I want to thank God and praise him tonight for what he has done in our lives, for what he has done in Chris's life. He indeed has touched her strongly and abundantly. To his praise and glory, she is much better. Thank you for all you have done, for your prayers and all the blessings you've been to us. This congregation indeed reaches out and shares its love among the membership. God bless you for that. Leading captivity captive. That first verse says, "The Lord turned again the captivity of Zion." When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. We were like them that dream. The Jew could remember many times of national trouble. And they could also remember, as they were in present trouble, they could remember amazing deliverance by God's strong arm in the past. Horrible captivities, disappointments, hardships, and then sudden, amazing mercy from the Lord, complete deliverance performed by God in their history. And so they would look forward again. And because of the past, they would look with confidence and they would look with faith to having it happen again by that same God who never slept. Performed by God, it seemed too good to be true. Oh, it was like we were like them that dream. Such a difference. One day in captivity, one day released, one day in freedom. Almost too good to be true. Is it a dream? Do I have to wake up from this? What is reality here? Is this a dream? If it is, let me sleep, Lord. Let me sleep a little longer. Don't wake me up yet. I don't want to go back to the misery I was in, If it's a dream, Lord, I want to dream. I want to dream a little bit longer. My wife and I have a testimony to share to the glory of God, and it fits here. Because for a little bit, it was like a dream because of my own belief, because of my lack of faith. January 25th, this year, Chris and I were in the van and heading 90 miles away to a destination, a doctor's office. A specialist appointment we had, and we were traveling in our Astro minivan. Well, I should tell you a little bit about that minivan. Since this past Christmas, there have been some real times with that minivan. The day after Christmas, Colin and I were in that minivan, that Astro, and we were 2 miles away from home just traveling along, and it just shut off like you'd have turned a switch off. And we drifted to a stop. It would not restart. As I sat there and tried, so Colin and I, we walked home in the snow. About a 2 mile walk. We did not mind the walk. It was kind of beautiful. And so the vehicle left Colin and I sit that day, the day after Christmas. The mechanic replaced a dirty looking fuel filter. And with confidence, he told us he believes he has it fixed. He got the problem. In other words, trustworthy again, if vehicles can ever be trustworthy. And so about 2 more weeks went by. The vehicle was used regularly, like it normally would have been. There was even a long trip in there. And it ran good for about 2 weeks. And then one day it would not start in the driveway. And for about 3 days in a row, I'd crank and crank and crank, and it would turn over and turn over and turn over and just wouldn't catch. You'd smell gas. It wouldn't start. Well, that led to having to get, I didn't want to pay a tow bill, so up to my brother Phillips, York Springs. He had a dolly that he never used. He bought it at sale fairly recently. Brought the dolly home, learned to use it, used all the sons and I think Nelson, and we pushed it up on there, got it to the garage. And the same aforementioned mechanic discovered weak spark. And so he replaced spark plugs that he knew without a doubt were original. So they had been firing for 160,000 miles. And so obviously it was time to replace them. And along with that, he replaced the wires, the distributor cap, and the rotor. And once more, he was confident that we could get in that vehicle with confidence and drive it. And our troubles would be behind us, at least until the next thing would come up. And so, about a week later, is when Chris and I set out in this van for our 90-mile destination. It ran just fine the whole way there. However, the return trip was different. It was January 25th, and if you remember, it snowed again that day. It started in the afternoon. We left that doctor's office at 4:20 p.m. There were already about 2 inches on the ground. Interstate 78 had some snow on it. Wasn't too bad a deal, though. We were traveling 45-50 instead of 65-70. But we were getting someplace. Down on Interstate 81, something must have happened up ahead. It was obviously one-lane traffic. We went down to nothing. A little crawl. Sit. Little crawl. An hour for a couple mile. Well, at least we were still crawling along. But on Interstate 78, that van, I said to Chris, I said, are there bumps in the road? I was being hopeful that highway was wearing out. Something was wrong. There were little glitches, and it was actually a glitch in power. And it happened repeatedly. And down there, crawling along in traffic, she shut off, and we drifted to a stop. I barely had enough momentum to get that back left corner past the white line. And there we sat, the tractor trailers, the trucks, the cars just eased on by. At least they weren't flying by. Now what? Chris had her track phone, and after sitting there 5 or so minutes, totally frustrated. I'm in no mood to pray. Chris suggested it. No way. I'm just frustrated. I'm just sitting here steaming. At her suggestion, I called 911 and they transferred me to the state police. On a snowy night, their only concern, it seemed to me, was that that vehicle get towed away from that roadside so that they can plow properly. Meanwhile, it's 17 degrees, it's snowing, and within 10, 15 minutes, you could just feel the heat leave that van. And the 17 degrees was coming in, and we were getting cold. Meanwhile, the police gave us the number of a towing agency. I called that number, and their trucks were all out on the road. There were fender benders, whatever. There was a lot going on that night, accidents. They were busy. It would be at least an hour, and I couldn't believe it would happen before an hour and a half, 2 hours. That tow truck was going to get in heavy crawl traffic, and it wasn't going to be just an hour. Well, another half hour, and I believe we would have been very cold. I'm now in the mood to pray. Out of desperation. We considered our options. One option was to call home to Caleb Colby, and there's the Dodge Ram there, and there's even the Dolly still at my house. No, I totally ruled that out of my mind. We're not having them come up the road on this night. The options looked like tow truck gets us, hauls us where the state police say it's okay, hopefully a nearby garage, and could you please take us somewhere to sleep? Or, you know, what's the next step? I didn't like our options. Other than the one option of that van starting and taking us home. And so my hands went on the dash. And with all my heart, I admitted to God, I can't start this van, but you can. And brothers and sisters, I turned the key. And my ears were unbelieving. I wasn't sure what that sound was. And so I gave it some gas. And then I knew for sure that I wasn't imagining. Chris and I looked at each other. And you better believe we were praising God right there in the van. He started that van despite my lack of faith. And brothers and sisters, if we can diverse here and go to Acts chapter 12, that's right where my mind went. And I feel led tonight to read that account. James has been killed by the sword, and they have thrown Peter into prison. They're planning to keep him in there till Easter and then bring him out, I guess, for the benefit of the satisfaction of the people. But there was a prayer meeting going on. While that man of God, Peter, was in prison, they were praying for a miracle. I'm going to read it, Acts chapter 12. I'll begin at verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaturions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals," and so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. I wondered what that noise was. In our text tonight, Psalm 126:1, we were like them that dream. Peter, he thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came onto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, The engine revved and Peter knew it was for real. And he knew for a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered him out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They're praying. They're asking God to work and to move. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "You are mad. Little lady, you are out of your mind." Well, what were they praying for? "You're out of your mind, young lady." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. "It's Peter. I heard his voice." Then they said, "Oh, but it's his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him. And they were astonished. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we're astonished, aren't we? At how the Lord God reaches forth his mighty hand of power. Despite our unbelief. Despite us pathetic followers of his. Praise his holy name. Sometimes the engine's up and running, and we don't have faith to believe it and follow the Lord to the next step of life. Where he leads, we sing, "I'll follow." Praise the Lord when we do, because he will not lead us in the wrong way. He will lead us to life eternal. Praise his holy name. God answers when we pray to him. Praise God for his answers even when there is weak faith. When we're astonished, when we think we're dreaming, forgive us, Lord. Praise God, he answers, and he answers again and again. He remembers his people, that we are weak, that we are sinful, that we are needy. And he comes to our aid. Meanwhile, the van continues to vex us. So be it. He brought us home that night. I want to tell you, that van ran the whole way home. I never felt another miss, never heard another miss. At home, it would not start. It would not start, and I had to end up hooking that thing back up to that dolly. Boys, we got to push again. Backward, out the driveway to the T. Got the dolly down the driveway, forward up on the dolly. "McKinney, do you want one more chance? I like you, I like the garage. I don't want to change. Our family has 6 vehicles going to that garage. Yes, I want another chance." This time, a crank sensor and an ignition module. Because the machine showed there was no crank sensor going on. It wasn't telling the engine, it wasn't telling the rest of the machine that there's cranking going on. So that must be it. Fired right up. What a coincidence. These intermittent problems, I said to that mechanic, I understand what you're up against. It comes and goes. But do we need to go to a bigger garage? One that has maybe more sophisticated equipment? I don't know. Or more of an understanding of the Chevy. I want one more chance. We brought it home. A few days later, it wouldn't start in the driveway. Again, it was snowing that day, and it was very damp. There was a lot of moisture. I had suggested the moisture problem to my main mechanic the second try. I don't know if he took it to heart or not. After this third one, I went in and I had a nice chat with my mechanic. I smiled. I wasn't one bit upset with him. I said, and his backup mechanic looked at me and he said, "What's going on? Doesn't it run?" I just shook my head and smiled at him. And I talked to the main mechanic. I said, "Dan," I said, "I'm not upset with you. I want you to know that." I said, "I don't even expect you to want my van back." And I said, "I'm not bringing it back." Mazda, that used to be Dodge Jeep, I don't know, Ram, now it's Mazda. What was Dodge Jeep Ram there on Carlisle Street is now out there on Eisenhower. And that's, what's that? That's the Dodge Jeep Ram now. Well, the same owner owns it all, and they kept their Chevy test equipment. He used to have Chevy there on Eisenhower. Now it's Dodge Jeep Ram. Now he doesn't have any Chevys. I don't know why. But he kept his equipment, and he has that van now. That's where it's at. He called Thursday or Friday. Thursday, I believe he called, and he said, do you want me to fix it? It'll cost thus and thus. He must have took my word. He must have took that moisture hint. It was running fine. He couldn't find a problem with it. What do you do? It's running fine. He threw moisture here and there, and when he made that ignition coil wet, he lost tremendous spark. It went way down, and so he's replacing it. Maybe I'll tell you about that later, because I don't know what's going to happen. Praise God. We have wheels. And I believe we'll have Astro wheels again. Psalm 126. Turn again our captivity, our trouble, our unbelief, O Lord. Exalt your great name, O God. Sometimes it's a nation. Sometimes it's an individual that is turned from captivity. Here it's the nation of Israel. I want to read for you what some men of old, some men years and years ago, had to say about this psalm. Concerning the whole psalm, this man wrote, and I quote, "In mine opinion, they go near to the sense and true meaning of the psalm who do defer it to that great and general captivity of mankind under sin, death, and the devil, and to the redemption purchased by the death and blood shedding of Christ and published in the gospel. For this kind of speech which the prophet useth here is of greater importance than that it may be applied only to Jewish particular captivities. For what great matter was it for these people of the Jews being, as it were, a little handful to be delivered out of temporal captivity in comparison of the exceeding and incomparable deliverance whereby mankind was set at liberty from the power of their enemies, not temporal but eternal, even from death, Satan, and hell itself. Wherefore, we take this psalm to be a prophecy of the redemption that should come by Jesus Christ and the publishing of the gospel, whereby the kingdom of Christ is advanced, and death and the devil with all the powers of darkness are vanquished." Praise God for those who could think and write such words as inspired by God. Thomas Stent, way back in 1621. Here's another one. "I believe this psalm is yet once more to be sung in still more joyous strain. Once more will the glad tidings of Israel's restoration break upon her scattered tribes like the unreal shadow of a dream. Once more will the inhabitants of the various lands from among whom they come forth exclaim in adoring wonder, 'The Lord hath done great things for them,' when they see Israelite after Israelite and Jew after Jew, as on that wondrous night of Egypt, with their loins girded, their shoes on their feet, and their staff in their hand, hasting to obey the summons that recalls them to their own loved land." This man, Barton Boucher, lived in the 1800s. Praise God, he talked about the Jew returning. And now we know a lot of that history that has rolled through since this man. Israel becoming a nation in 1948 and many, many Jews going back to Israel. The prison of sin. Self. Besetting sins. Vices of the flesh. Chains. Walls. Doors with no key. That's where I am in my life sometimes. That's where I definitely was before salvation delivered my soul. That's where you were before you were delivered a great deliverance, a redemption by the blood of Jesus. And even as Israel has oft been redeemed and released from captivity, even when we become Christians, Because of our own weakness and because of our own sinful flesh, we fall back into these places. And once more, we need released, and we need the Savior's power. I jotted down number 16 here in my notes. Praise the Lord, it's been sung tonight. Do you want relief? Do you want power? A freedom from the burden of sin? Amen, it's released, and it's power, and it's given through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we need to cry out many times, free us, for we have no power of our own. There is power in the blood. Praise to the Savior who takes the soul that's sin sick and makes it o'er again, who through his truth makes prisoners free. It's better than a dream, brothers and sisters. It's real. It's not a dream, it's reality. Listen closer. The Lord says, my truth will make you free, and you will be free indeed when you come to the Savior. Ah, brother and sister, it's emancipation. It's freedom from slavery. Verse 2 says, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Great things for them. Emancipation, liberty, results in so great a joy that it cannot be contained. The joy and the laughter of the redeemed, the heart that has this fullness of joy and laughter, it has to flow out. It can't contain it. And it comes out and fills the mouth. And we laugh. We're full of joy at the redemption and at the salvation of our God. Laughter, mind you, that praises God. When the tongue could finally work, first it was just laughter. There in verse 2, our mouth was filled with laughter. And then after, when the tongue could finally get control, the tongue was filled with singing. Speaking wasn't good enough. It had to sing out of the abundance of the heart. When the tongue could actually form words, singing flows forth to the praise of God, to the praise of Jesus. Verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us. Wherefore, we are glad. The Lord hath done great things for us. The truth and the joy in verse 2 bears repeating in verse 3. Glad is the nation and the individual for whom God does great things. Praise his holy name. Psalm chapter 40. There at the beginning of it. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. He says down in verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done. Praise his name. Ah, tonight, if you are a child of God, I don't want to hear you say the Lord hasn't done anything great for me. Brother, sister in the Lord hath reached down and brought you up out of the miry clay and has set you upon a rock, the rock Jesus, a place of redemption, a place of salvation, a place of strength and safety, a rock Christ Jesus that will not move. Yes, if you are a child of God, don't say, the Lord hath not done it for me. He hath done it. He hath done it, and he will do it again. In the situation you're in now, he will do it. We need to praise the Lord more. And you know what? As we praise the Lord more, the Lord is going to do more. The power of God will be released in the praises that his holy name receives. Verse 4 of Psalm 126. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Thinking of streams in the south that have dried up from drought. It hasn't rained and the streams have gone dry. That's how the soul of man is. Is your soul dry? Is it weary with the trials and the temptations and the distresses of life? Oh, God can bring the rivers of water again through and in your soul. He can refresh you with the dew from heaven and from his mighty hand of love. Oh, wait for it and experience it. God will refresh, even as the dried up river. You will flow again with joy, with laughter, with singing to the praise of his holy name. Great is the Lord. Verse 5 says, they that sow in tears, they're going to reap in joy. That's plural. They, verse 6 is individual. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Israel has had repeat troubles and captivities. And so have we. But brothers and sisters, each one is a stepping stone in faith. As we look back, and the list is longer and longer, what God has done for us. There's been no mountain, there's been no trial, there's been no trouble too big for him. We look back and we remember, and our faith is strengthened by that memory of a faithful God. And we go forward in that faith. And we say, Lord, I'm looking and I'm waiting, and you are going to do it again. And again, praise his holy name. He is faithful. He is faithful. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. You know, we ask God to do what seems impossible. And then we stumble at the answer. Young lady, you're out of your mind. That can't be Peter. Oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Brothers and sisters, verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Weeping is not going to last forever. Trouble is not going to last forever. Difficulty and the temptations of the devil are not going to last forever. There is going to be a morning of redemption. In experiences in this life, and we can look at this psalm in the national sense, and there's an even greater fulfillment in the future, in eternity, when, and even before eternity, as God gathers Israel together and saves them as a nation and redeems them from all the nations of the world that rise up against them. And individually, I believe it was Brother Duane's prayer tonight about sanctification there and glorification. One day, brother and sister, in glorification, there won't be any more steps in our faith building. We're going to have sight. We're going to be face to face with our Redeemer that did it all in this life. And then it's going to be perfect victory. And no more devil. And no more trials. No more temptations. Trouble today will not last forever. I want you to cling to that. I want you to hold to that. Weep. Go ahead and weep. I saw a lot of tears in the past months. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, joy cometh in the morning. Amen, it does. Can you say amen to that? And if you can't quite say amen to it yet, by faith you will. You will. And I'm going to hear you say amen. But I believe you've said it tonight. I believe you've said it tonight. In sorrow we sow, in rejoicing we reap. With no sowing in tears, we could not reap in joy. Think about it. God loves you every moment you're shedding tears. He loves you every moment you're going through the tough place. He wants an extra sweet joy for you in the morning. In the morning. Look to the morning by faith and trust. We must learn also in a deeper sense of the meaning here to weep over sin. First in my life. Secondly, the sin in others' lives should break my heart. And it should bring tears. We're not going to win souls until we're heartbroken. Then God's going to start working, and he's going to have missionaries. God has a lot of work to do in me, but I believe this is the deepest meeting. Oh, that we would come weeping, that one day there would be a harvest of souls, that there would be a turning of the heart. Oh, turn the captivity of Jerusalem. Oh, turn the captivity of the chained up heart of sin. Oh, that it might experience freedom and joy, that it might laugh. Oh, that it might sing. Praise to a Redeemer who frees from all the past and all the bondage. Oh, brothers and sisters, we must learn to weep over sin. Ours and others, tears from an earnest heart give birth to tears of repentance. And then there's joy. There's no joy without tears. Where are you at tonight? Allow the situations of life to be steps, to be building blocks of faith in a loving, faithful God. God bless you.